All right, so here's another question. Last time we were on the air, you guys at the hospital were on what you called a code white, or your emergency operations mode, and that was started on March 9th. And what are you and your staff holding, how are you guys holding up after this long period of time?
Thanks, Greg. This is Will. We are still in a code white. We are still operating in that, continuing that posture of where we have an emergency operations center open, and the key players are up here, keeping a close eye on it. We are holding up well. Our staff has been unbelievable in stepping up. We're doing a lot of real-time training in PPE and reviewing the very special PPE we have to use, the respirators and stuff like that. Our ICU nurses and our hospitalists have been doing training in the specialty cares of a COVID ICU-level patient. So we continue to plan and try to stay ahead of where we actually are. As an emergency management coordinator, that's my job, is to try to stay 1 week ahead of everything or 2 weeks ahead. So we are still planning, hoping that we never utilize any of that stuff, but we continue to plan. Even though we haven't seen the surge in the numbers yet, we don't want to take that for granted. We are continuing to work out more details, get our staff even more trained, and just dot more I's and cross more T's to be as ready as we can if the surge happens.
Yeah, I noticed that Carroll County only has 30 reported positive cases, which doesn't seem like a big number, but are we still expecting that surge? What are we looking at for a time frame here?
So it depends, Greg, on who you talk to. Mm-hmm. I think on this, and there are a lot of really smart people out there that are making estimates and best guesses. So 30 at this point is not, I'll tell you, the number that I thought we'd be at after being on our fourth week. I thought that number would be larger. I think there's a lot of things that have been done by our local leaders here in the Valley, and also at the state level, specifically the stay-home directive, and then our businesses and residents in this area really more or less shutting down the Valley, so to speak, comparatively to how we usually would be this time of year. I think that is, as we always hear each and every day, the curve, and I think the curve is being flattened because of that. With that being said, I think the concern, and I was having a good discussion earlier today with a leader in the state, and asking what his thoughts were on our numbers being where they are. And he brought up a good point, and I agree. I hope that we'll continue flatten the curve and that we're going to be on the downside of this. But I think the biggest problem is that we get too relaxed, mm-hmm. Locally in the state and throughout our country. And what I mean by that is we don't continue doing what we're doing now as much as we'd all love to get back tomorrow to what I call normalcy. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have to do that deliberately, intelligently, and incrementally over the next several weeks if the numbers continue to go in the direction which is down as they have been over the last several days.
Okay, that's great. And so is that some of the stuff, or maybe you can explain some of the stuff that you guys have learned from other countries or places like Italy, Spain, even like Washington and New York?
Well, I'll hand this over to either Matt or Will, but I'll talk about one country that I'm pretty familiar with that I think did really well. And if you look at their numbers and see their line, and their line's basically completely flat, and that's South Korea. I was stationed there in the Army for 3 years and really got to know that great group of people, that great country and culture. And one of the things that they did really well, really early, and I can remember this when we were not even thinking that much about this. It was a second or third thought of the day rather than the only thought of the day, which it has been for several weeks now, is that they started doing the drive-up testing very early.
Yeah.
And then when they would get somebody that was positive, they would put them in quarantine. And their culture is much different than our culture. And I think that, and also that the country is the size of Indiana. So the ability to control, I think, was much easier for them. Culturally, I think it was easier for them as well to keep people quarantined and to flatten that curve very well.
Okay. And now what kind of, what are some of the elements that you guys have for the surge plan that you've been expecting this coming week and maybe the next week or two?
Yeah, it's a great question, Greg. This is Matt speaking. Kind of getting into that answer as well as some of the other things that we learned from particularly France and Italy, as well as some of the early infections in Seattle and New York, it was we needed to plan quickly. We needed to take this seriously. We needed to do everything we could to stay ahead and be prepared. We also, particularly looking at France and Italy, we needed to do everything we could as a state and as a country and as a community to limit exposure. And that is where all this social distancing comes in. So Art was talking about flattening of the curve. That's limiting exposure. It's limiting the need for surge, while at the same time we were rapidly planning to do everything we can here to plan for a surge at every level. And I'll let Art kind of talk about what steps we've gone through and where we've landed in terms of the capability of this organization.
Okay.
Yeah. So the thing that comes to my mind on that question, Greg, is the things that most of the hospitals really felt they had to do to be ready. And so some of the key elements come into play. One are personnel, your people, mm-hmm. your team members at the hospital, equipment, supply, and then facility structure. And the reason why people are reading about the hospitals, some hospitals in particular struggling, but all hospitals really losing money during this time is because we had to shut down at least 60 to 70% of what we typically do, the number of patients that we see, the procedures, the surgeries, et cetera. Now, one, we did that to keep people safe from the virus, but as or more importantly, we did that to have our team members here, our clinicians across the board, be able to be ready if we did have a surge, which we were seeing in states south of us. And then also, if we would have continued at 100% operationally, we would have been using up the much-needed personal protective equipment and supplies and wouldn't have been ready for what we thought was the impending surge. So because of that, we shut down and we're still continuing to be at about 40% operationally, and 60% or more we're not doing right now. We hope in the near future we can start doing that once we feel comfortable that the virus doesn't rebound, if you will. And in the near future, we hope we can incrementally start seeing more patients in our various specialties, surgeries, and procedures. So that was really, from a financial and an operational standpoint, that was a big move for everybody, not an easy move from a financial standpoint and an operational standpoint. It's something that none of us in our careers, and I've been doing this for 25 years, have ever dealt with. But there's no doubt in my mind, the mind of our staff here and our board of trustees, that this is what we had to do. This is what we should continue doing, at least for the time being, until we feel like we're on the backside of this.